Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. Did you hear that one, Chris?
I did. I got that one. Good stuff. Getting ready, reading some of your questions for Eamesy later on in the pod. There are some misleading information in there from what I can read.
I don't know what you're talking about. we're going to have Eamesy on the pod later on tonight, which is nice. That should be good to hear from him, the MA50 champion at the Queensland Open. So not much bigger than that. It doesn't get much bigger than that. I think the other pod might have been getting Doyne. Who is it? Doyne Parry on or something?
Doyne Parry.
I can't remember. He won one of the other divisions, but not MA50. Couldn't even have more people in it. Couldn't possibly. So yeah. Nah, keen to hear from Eamesy. That'd be good.
It will be good.
I put out the links for round two of the shirt forms today, and positive results already. I got a little screen grab from you from the sheet, and looks like we got a whole bunch more to come, and a bunch of tie dye shirts. And I didn't think we were gonna get any. I thought it was gonna be you and me, and no one else. But we got a whole bunch of people keen.
I think it's just over a half. We've had at least another 20 orders come in, and a quick count. I think there's 11 tie dyes in there.
Hectic.
Yeah.
So now that's really cool. I'm excited. The only thing is, I think the only person that I spoke to who wrote tie-dye correctly was Tanya Behan. And, you have put it in our form, and a bunch of people have spelled it like T-Y-E-D-Y-E.
Yes.
So
yes.
Tie-dye is when you tie up a shirt and dye it.
Yes.
So tie is T-I-E.
Yes, Alan, but just play along for
just
a second.
Play along,
mate.
Okay.
Do you think our shirts are being tied up and being dyed?
No.
And so I deliberately. It's just like it's tie dye, as in this ain't being tied up and dyed. This is like our spin on
gotcha.
Tie dye.
Right.
For all the idiots that are texting you and spelling it wrong, maybe they're idiots. But I 100% meant what I meant when I wrote it with a Y.
I like it. Well, get them in because I want to get this order sorted next week. So we're quick here. Taryn wants a special Trollers shirt. So maybe in wave three, we might have to come up with a limited edition Troller shirt. But we'll see. Dave Gannon's already pissed off at us because he was happy with his allotment from last time. And then he saw the tie-dye and he's like, come on, guys. What are you doing? So he had to get another. So thanks, Dave. But now it should be good. One of the guys getting a shirt too is Zach. How do we say his last name again?
You figured it out. I think it's still just Schloffel.
Yeah. So he's actually reached out and he sent the pronunciation. So it is Zach
Schleffel.
Schleffel. We're getting the sh right, but it's a Schleffel, not a Schloffel. So now we know. The more we know, eh?
Yeah.
Schleffel.
All right, thanks. I hear this is like, is this jumper grey or green? Like, because when he says that, all I hear is Schloffel.
Well, it's Schleffel, so we'll have to work on that. He needs to just get rid of the O in there, in his name. That'll fix everything up. If you fix that up, jumped up.
Have you played those games before where, like, read this and listen, and, like, whatever you read, that's what it sounds like?
Yeah, that's wild. That's
what's happening to me right now.
he also reached out last week, and I forgot about it. We did the segment where we talked about how many tournaments people had played. I think Nath was leading the way for the people who actually live in Australia with 13, but they must have had some shenanigans and not counted old Schleff's numbers, because he's got 3 in MA2, 8 in MA3, and 3 in MA4 for a grand total of 14. So old boy Schleff's getting it done. He's been playing like every double up tournament pretty much, so add that to every other tournament and look at him go. 14, big boy.
There you go.
All right, we had a ratings update. We talked about it last pod. This was going to be the special early week ratings updates. How did we go? I know the big one we were looking out for was Huss to see if she was going to break the 900 mark.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Did she get there?
I nailed it, yep. In a leapfrog, 901.
Big.
Yeah.
Big. Ah, sick. That's really good to see. We should get Huss on. Maybe we'll get her on next week or something like that. See how she's feeling about that and whether that she was working towards or something like that, or if she's just been dominating and when you dominate, good things happen. But that'd be good.
Absolutely cool. Yeah, good to see. Back, have another 900 female disc golfer back in the country. It's good.
Perfect. Anything else spicy in the women's division or not much changing since the last time we had a look?
So from what I can gather, the event that just kicked off, Queensland has not been counted.
Okay.
Yeah. So like Huss played, for example, but no rating update. So, and a few people kind of fit that category when I was like, sorry, I said Huss, as Cassie played, and yeah, no rating update. So, and a few other Queensland golfers that I looked at, no rating update. So Queensland, not in this update.
Fair enough. What about you? Did you fare all right?
Stagnation.
Stagnation, even with an event.
Even with an event. At back of Christopher and Old.
Yeah.
Just played to my rating. 944, not up, not down, just absolutely stood still. And it was interesting because I was having a look at my rating history before the update, and I'll just confirm now that the update has happened. I had... I didn't lose any rounds, so it was a bit of a perfect storm.
There you go.
Yeah, no. Yeah, so I'm still holding on to some July ones, the big wet last year. So in the next update, they will fall, which will be nice because they are a 909 and a 918. I don't need them. So, yeah, that's me. I stood still. What about you?
I went down one. So, which is fine. I played pretty bad at Melbourne Celebrate. So, down one's a win. That's a big win. So, I'll take that. Happy days. Still 925 or something, right? I think. So, not bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take that. Keep chomping along.
There you go.
What about the big dogs in the pro division in Australia? How are they looking?
Paddy dropped one. So, obviously had a light on round there at... Celebrates, and I'm sure he's feeling the same as you, to be honest. Like, was sick as a dog, not his best second round, and relatively unscathed, really. So, one to him. Ryan Michelle joined the 950 club, up three to 952, but he wasn't the only one joining the 950 club, was he?
Nah, big Pen Lu is now officially in full-on sandbagger territory. So
yeah, full on.
MA1 and 950 don't mix, but there they are. I'm looking at it right now, big wet. Got 950 rated guy in my division, so that's cool. Thanks, Penn.
How good.
But now that's a big, big achievement for him.
Yeah, huge.
Onwards and upwards too, I'm sure.
So I mentioned Queensland didn't count. Dave Perry dropped a couple. I expect a big bounce back next month pretty much straight away because he played above rating at Queensland. But, 1,005 for DP. Blake Houston didn't move, but, again, Queensland didn't count. Luke Bain, 997. Is that a non-mover as well? Yep, that's also a non-mover. Be interesting to see what happens to Bainey once Queensland's in the mix. Quick scroll down this top dog leaderboard. Nothing jumping off the page at me. I'm wondering if this Zach James, Mr. Zach himself, up three, 966.
Oh, that's going to go away after Queensland. He hurt me bad, that prick. So I hope he loses. I hope he loses all his points.
Well, this is his rating. This is absolutely his rating peak. So enjoy it while it lasts, Zach. If Queensland was not your weekend.
I had a look at Richard Lewis Shell because he's been on a bit of a tear lately. He is up five, unsuspectingly, and he stole all those points from Taron Anderson, who is down five.
Oofed.
Nice little bit of symmetry there. Who else do we know has been playing good or bad lately to sort of have a bit of a check-in? I've looked at a bunch of random ones, and a lot of people are up and down one or two, and nothing too spicy. Old Schleff's up five, so that's not a bad get.
There you go. There you go. Matt Hunter has had a couple of little wins, but it's only up two. It's just standard numbers. We're not finding any of those big swings sometimes find in an update. Yeah.
Ash B up five is a nice little bump for him. But, yeah, not a bit of an uneventful one. So
let us know. Let us know. We know we missed you. Let us know, listeners. There's a listener out there going, I'm up seven. Where's my shout out? Look, as we're playing Russian roulette here with our clicker, we're not leaning on you. So let us know.
And if you know someone's taking a shit, just let us also know.
Oh, not that we've ever had anyone do that before.
No, no way. No way.
No way.
I saw on the Melbourne Disc Golf chat that, I can't remember the exact thing now, I should have written it, but it was like, good news, everybody, Goz Disc Golf, golf buggy bags, golf, are golfing in Golf Melbourne. And I was like, what? Did you?
That was verbatim.
Did you read that message and also have that same reaction?
I certainly did.
Once I deciphered it, I found that you can go to a website called gozgolf.com, and they've got these crazy golf bags that are like designed for disc golf, almost ready for sale. So apparently they're in the country and will be ready for sale soon. They look cool.
They do look cool. So, yeah, for those playing along at home, they're designed to fit into a little disc golf buggy. Into a little golf buggy, like many of us kick around with, myself included, because it's so hard to get Zookas and whatnot into the country. So these bags look like they are just a repurposed golf bag.
Yeah.
Repurposed stick golf bag. So they fit on golf buggies perfectly. So the best thing about this whole thing was I'm pretty sure part of that I golf in golf bag golf quote was the only bags in Australia that allows you to stack your discs horizontally. And I was like, hang on a second. Aren't my discs stacked horizontally? What's going on here? And then I saw a photo and I think he meant vertical.
Yeah, I don't know. It started a good debate and I tuned right out. But you can fit like 1,000 discs in this thing. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So looks cool. If you're in the market for a new bag and you want something golf buggy ready, then yeah, have a look. They're $400. But I don't know. I think bags are expensive nowadays. But they look cool. Goz Golf, check them out. And yeah, it's a couple of the Melbourne Disc Golf crew getting involved. So good to see.
I think we'll be seeing a couple around. Like, they look pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
We had the World Masters Championships on the weekend, and there was a few familiar names getting around on that one. I think Big Tall Paul took out the coveted MP40 division with a stellar final round. He got an ace in the final round, right, to force a playoff?
It's a bonkers final round. 10-75. Final round from chase card.
Hectic.
To go neg nine on the back nine to force a playoff against none other than household name Dutch Napier. and so, like, without taking the piss, though, like, the guys that were 1-2 essentially going into that final round Dutch was in there, but really the whole weekend was a battle between Joe Revere and Kale Lavisca. And these guys have been going toe-to-toe in MP40 for a couple of years now. Joe's a lesser-known name, but if you follow any Masters age golf, you'll know Joe. He wins them all. Kale's obviously a gun. Jeremy Colling was a bit up and down. He was finding himself in top 10, and there was just big names up and down the leaderboard. But, yeah, huge for Tall Paul Omen to go 10-75 in the final round. I don't know who this Dutch chap is, but, yeah, that's so good. Paul seems like a jet. Obviously, you see a lot of him with the Tour Down Under stuff and does a lot of commentating with, is it Gatekeeper who does all the Tour Down Under stuff?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So,
or go throw or something, whatever it is.
Yeah. Whatever it is these days. But legend, I'm stoked for him. I think it's probably the biggest win of his career, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. That's huge. Huge field there. Yeah. So that was cool. In the FP40, it was just Owen again. I feel like this is a 15th FP40 win, which I know is not possible, but she just wins it every single year.
Yeah.
She's a freak. So gets it done over Jen Allen, Sarah Hokum, Lisa Fakus, all sort of big names in the FPO field right there with her. But Owen just way too good. And then a handful of other big names as well floating around the other division. So Johnny McRae getting it done in the MP50, which is cool to see. And Juliana Korva winning 100% her millionth world title. I think, what was it? I think it was between her and Des Redding that had, that was a post that someone put out, and it was so many. It was so many between those two, and they were battling it out in the FP50, but Juliana gets it done by 10 strokes. She's still killing it.
Mm-hmm.
Still absolutely killing it. She's 9.38 rated. She put in a 9.50-ish event. Just weapon.
So good. The big names don't stop there. A big fan of the show. Couldn't quite get it done in MP55. Jay Yeti Redding got T2nd with none other than Barry Schultz. Look at those two big dogs going toe-to-toe. But they were both outdone by Kevin Babbitt. Well done, Kev. You find any other big names up and down the age groups?
Oh, I'm sorry. You said friend of the show.
I'm Jay Yeti Redding, and you're listening to the Rollers Podcast.
You mean that Jay Yeti Redding?
I do mean that Jay Yeti Redding.
Good guy, that guy. Close personal friend of us.
Yes.
I definitely don't know any of the names in the old 60s and stuff like that. I know Simon Feezy was there but had to pull out, which was a bit disappointing. But other than that, cool event. And just seeing the big dogs still eating. They still keep eating. Never keep a big dog down.
Yeah, awesome stuff.
Speaking of big dogs, the Melton Social Day went off on the weekend.
Did it just.
And it was the start of our tipping comp. And I think it went great. We had, there's like 30 odd people in it. I think 22-ish tipped. And it was a lot of fun. I don't know about you, but I was pretty, like, I normally check in on the social day stuff if I'm not playing. But I was a lot more intensely glued this time, checking on key matchups that I might have had.
I believe it.
I believe it. You weren't?
I believe it. I was watching. It was ring-a-ding-ding. A couple of, you did well. Yeah, you definitely matched them up well. It was great to see how mixed up a lot of the tipsters went.
Mm. Yeah, it was pretty good. Before we get too far into the tips, though, we do have to point out that somebody got zero. I mean, multiple people got zero for not tipping, but this tip person tipped all 8, I think, matchups and got 0 correct. It's impressive. That's the only thing I can say is that's impressive.
It wasn't me, but I was close.
You were close. I know you were pretty close. That's funny. All right, we'll get to the tipping in a sec. We'll have a look at the social day results. And what do we got? In Div X, it was Daniel Santa Maria with very nice +4 with a few birdies there. So that's good to see. And in Div C, it was a tie between Ash Brookers and my man that I played with at Bald Hill, Alaya Kravchenko. So good to see he's still sticking around and getting a bit done. So -2 for both those. Ash Brooker's name sounds like that might be trouble for me, though, right?
It does. And that was one matchup I was keeping a very close eye on between him and Kim. In the end, it looks like he got it done by 3 strokes, but that came down to, like, the wire.
Mm.
That was absolute ring-a-ding-ding. And essentially what separated them in the end was it looks like Kim did not make the island on one, Ash did. There's a 2-shot swing just there in itself. And then Kim unfortunately followed up hole 1 with another bogey.
I was looking so good. That was a tipping. I put all the throwers guarantees into the tipping as well. That was a tipping matchup, not just your throwers guarantee. I went against you because I was like, the chances of getting a DFC battle right is hard. So I was like, I'll go the opposite. And it was looking great. I was looking at getting a tip and no points for you. But yeah, bogey finish is tough. So 6 big points coming your way and a nice round for Ash Brookers. Probably his best ever performance at that track.
I think so, yeah.
Maybe. 6 points for you means your total goes up to 19. Yikes. Big. All right. Big. We'll see how we're going from there. What is Div B getting done?
Div B, we had a Glenn Ralston tied up with Matt Daniels with neg sixes, both with a bogey each. Quick look down the Div B leaderboard, and no one's managed to go clean at Melton. And really, that's what you need to do if you want to go real low. But well done to Glenn and Matt. Damian Musey, Chu Tran, and Zach Schleffel all tied in there on third on a neg four.
Yeah, Matt Daniels looking good. He put that score in early, and that was a key tipping one, so that was nice. And in the big dogs, it was Ville. Clean card, neg 14, if you don't mind. Just daylights ahead of Penn and Carey, who were tied for second. Just massive round there for Ville. 14 down, that's no joke, even at Melton.
Yeah, I'm just having a quick gander. I'm going to go ahead and assume that that would be the course record, surely, for a social day. How do we do this again? Ratings, top results. Here we go. Yep. Marcus Vellotta at the top there with a neg 14, closely followed, oh, that's right, by none other than Chris Reynolds, who took a neg 13 with a bogey on... With a bogey on one.
Oh, yeah. Didn't you miss an easy putt?
Missed the dinker as well. But the bogey really stands out.
Yeah.
Anyway, so technically I'm better than Ville. But well done, Ville. You're at the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, huge round. We did talk about it. I think it was a potential dollars guarantee matchup. And it was just too, it was one of those ones where it was like, well, it's Penn's home track and he's really good. But Ville's like 980 metric rating. So it's like, that just means he's better, right? But yeah, it does. Beat him by 5 strokes. So huge for him. Nice round there for Zolt and Picanti, both neg 8s. So very good stuff there.
Without looking, and I hope you haven't looked. If you have, it'll ruin the game.
Yeah.
But Ville on the handicap leaderboard, roughly where would you put him? Have you looked?
No, I haven't.
There was 35 competitors. Neg 14 might get you.
Sure. Like he's 5 clear of anyone else. Like I know he's 980 rated, but still. Metrics is rough. Maybe that gets you 1,000 rated, which means it's really only 20 above his rating. 11th?
20th.
Fuck off. That's terrible. I went unders. Like, I thought it was going to be like 6th. I went 11th because I want to go unders. 20th? That's so stiff.
20th.
Metrics is dumb.
You did well on the rating. It was 1,004.
Yeah.
But yeah, 20th, not even top half. Imagine if you went top half, bottom half with Ville, and he goes course record bottom half.
I'd be furious. I'd be packing it in. Like, there's no more throwers guarantee there. Oh, boy. Well, I think mine was in this. I had Carey to beat Jacoby Cruden. Jacob put in a neg 6 morning round. And Carey was even through what felt like 65 holes. Oh, man. I was like, just get a birdie, Carey. Just get a birdie, please, mate. And then he got to the front 9 and he birdied a ton of them. So that was good. He went 7 down through the front 9. I think he was maybe tie for Jacob with 3 holes to play. Like he went bang.
Yep.
And I was like, sick. He just needs 2 more. Out of 9, 10, and 11, I was like 10 every... Somehow everybody birdied 10. Which 10's hard, right? Like, not hard, but like, it's hard.
Not easy.
Yeah. But everyone was birding it, so I was like, somehow this is a magic wind. So I'm like, he'll get that. He just gets needs to get one of nine or earned 11. And he got both, all three. So happy days. Bang, bang. That's
only one Div A player didn't birdie 10.
Yeah. Not good.
That's crazy.
We had to shame him. It was Juan. Juan did not. He was the only one.
Ah, yeah.
So anyway, gotcha. 5 points to me brings me up to 10, and that is 2 weeks in a row where I have scored and I have lost a bit. Like, the lead has grown for you.
Yes, correct.
So I do not like that. It's 19 to 10. I'm getting spanked. But I must say, we are on fire this
section. We really are.
You're 3 from 3. I'm 2 from 3. So yeah. Together... Well, we're 5 out of 6. We are the best.
We are.
Does that mean that we dominated the tipping?
We're not Vinya. Have we figured out who Vinya is?
Nah, I have no idea. So, Vinya, that was the person who got them all wrong. Chris Scott with one correct tip is equally, or not equally, it's pretty terrible as well. But yeah, 5 was the best. There was only 7 matchups, so 4 people tipped 5. I think that was my old man, Levi, Matt Finnegan, and Penn, I'm pretty sure. I was on 3. I got 3 right. So Penn cooked me, prick. Penn picked Ville. So that would have been nice information to have. Kim one got me in the end, and then... I picked Brett over Mushy, and I had Josh Quinn over Phil Paul, so that was not so good there. But Matt Daniels over Schloffel was nice. He put up that number early, and Schleff was working towards it, but couldn't get it done. Juan over Kalen was as easier money I've ever made. Kalen with a terrible score. I don't think he can play well at Melton. He can't throw it soft enough.
Yeah, true.
How do you throw... 100 kilometers an hour with, like, you know, a whole one.
Yeah.
So, love that. Not many. That was the big upset, apparently, because that and Penn. Most people had them picked. Or Josh Quinn, actually. 3 people picked Philip Hall. So, that was the good get the tip. And most people were on Carey. Carey was the clear favorite over Jacob. So, that was nice to see. I'm happy to have got that 5 out of that.
The tipsters
were not on your side. But yeah, the tipping will be fun. I'll have the matchups for Bicentennial up tomorrow.
And there's a little, I'm surprised by, because I know we're all in like footy tipping comps, and there's like a little banter box in all our footy tipping comps that we're in as well. And in my comps I've ever been in, no one ever gets going in the banter boxes, but the banter boxer is alive and well in our disc golf tipping.
Yeah, it is. I might actually just have to, I shouldn't say this, but I might have to get a chat going. There's too many chats, but maybe I'll make a chat so we can actually talk shit, because there's no notifications. You got to go look for it.
Yeah, I know. I'm seeing it for the first time.
Yeah. Now there's been a tip, and I might have to. I'll put a message out to see if anyone wants to get on board for that. So, but I'll check that out tomorrow. It's going to be every Thursday. So, all right, the Queensland Open we had on the weekend, and it looks like it was a great one. Weather looked beautiful. Parked was out doing some roaming Brian stuff, and looked like a great time, right?
Yeah, it did look like a great time. Looked like beautiful weather. I saw lots of people playing in shorts, and obviously I was mostly keeping a close eye on the MPO guys, and it was a battle. It was a battle from round 1 through to round 3. David Perry actually found himself in third after round 1 with Aussie D and Bainey sitting at the top. He worked up into second, the Melbourne boy, after round 2, but Blake Houston jumped up the board with a 10.36 rated round minus 8. It was just great to see these big dogs in Australian disc golf actually turn up to a major. Obviously, we know that the most recent major before this was Vic Open. Lots of big dogs were there. You may remember I made lead card round 2.
I remember.
Back to the main event. DP gets it done by a stroke. Huge. Well done. The kid's a jet. and 10-28 final round. And like I alluded to earlier, he played nearly a 10-20 event.
Yeah, no, that was really cool to see. Aussie D looking real good from the start. And yeah, it was hole like 14 or something like that. Dave might have taken a bogey and the lead sort of pushed out to 2 strokes. And then I think Dave birdied every hole after that. So yeah, just went whack, whack, whack. And Aussie D couldn't keep up. So cool to see.
Yeah, awesome. Recently married Aussie D. I know you're a big man on socials.
Yeah.
That catches all of that information. But yeah, it looks like he got married like a couple of days before the event kicked off. Just squeezed it in. Didn't want to miss the event, you know. Think he ran with a Wednesday wedding just so he could make sure he made this event.
Yeah, I saw that. That's so funny. good work, Aussie D. what was it? There wasn't too many other. We don't need to go through everything because we sort of don't care. But the MP40 battle was pretty interesting too. I was watching that, and there was like $1,000 up for grabs for the winner. So that was pretty cool. I think Chris Palazzi had it, and Paul Phillips sort of caught it back. Big round two, and then did what he needed to do in round three. So that was cool. The kid Joe Paul didn't have enough. He started too slow, so I finished second place. That was wild because I'm pretty sure the guy who was leading round one and two ended up not so hot in the end. I think Nick Thompson had the lead, pretty good, and then shit the bed in the final round, ended up with a tie for third, and Jack Smith just came. I'll take that. Thank you very much. 10 strokes better round three than round two. So.
986.
Yeah, it's all it takes.
986. Yeah. Bang.
So that was good. But who else? We had, we didn't have any MA40s, did we? We had MA3s, I think. Or no, MA2s. And unfortunately, we got to scroll right to the bottom of it to find Mitchie Evers' name. So not ideal there for Mitchie Boy. You never want to come last, especially in a group of 27.
No.
Round, though. All it really was one bad round. So, disappointing. If he could have cleaned up his round two, he could have got himself, not in the mix, but right into the thick, meaty part of MA2 there.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, do we have any... It was just the MA50 division we really had people floating around?
Let's have a little look. No, I don't think you're missing any, but I will give a shout-out to Haas, who round one started with a plus 13, and then two rounds later found herself plus 26. So if you're doing the maths, playing along at home, she went a plus 13 for her next two rounds combined. So as we all know, there was obviously a significant injury over in WA. Sweeten has been slowly making her way back. I keep on getting her name wrong.
Yeah, I was confused. I was like, fuck, where's Haas at?
Cassie is like been making her way back from injury. And yeah, so not a great round one, but then awesome round two and round three. And I know she'd be really chuffed with that. So well done, Cassie. And I think I see her name signed up for Big Wet. And then straight after that, she must be heading to China soon.
Sick.
For the World Games. Yeah, so building momentum, building strength. It was the ankle, wasn't it, in Perth? So hopefully strength coming back into all of that. And yeah, great to see her back on the track.
Yeah, sick. Nah, cool. But yeah, in the MA50, we had a little bit going on there. We had Richard Lewis Schell, who I thought was going to be the favorite, and Dave Eames, our man, just stormed in and took the win for himself. So big time effort by him, and I believe we have him on the phone.
Oh, beautiful.
I'll just... get him in here in a minute. Yeah, looking good. So welcome to the pod, MA50 Queensland Open champion, David Eames. How you doing, Eamesy?
G'day, boys. How's it going? I'm doing well. Been living out of a caravan for the last couple of months, so I'm over that. But hopefully our house reno will be finished soon and we'll be able to move back in, which will be great.
couple of grey nomads. You love to hear it. It can be rough, though. At least it's sunny in Queensland and not cold like Melbourne. Huge congrats on taking it down and taking the win, obviously, at Queensland Open. How did you like the course and how did you like the tournament overall?
Yeah, the weather in Queensland's been pretty good lately. Luckily, our Renault's sort of started after the wet season because it basically pissed down here between Christmas and May. But since then, it's been sunny and warm during the day, if a little cold at night. Yeah, also, I'm really happy with the result on the weekend. I started off a bit slow on round one, but came good on rounds two and three. So, yeah, that was great. Yeah, the course itself was playing really nicely. The weather was fantastic. Unbelievable. Like, we had a bit of wind on the first day, but apart from that, like, perfect conditions. Yeah, there was a good mix of sort of regular holes plus some great changes the boys had put in to bring it up to a tourney level course. The finishing holes especially kept things exciting because there was quite some good opportunities for some big scores on 16 and 18 especially, which keep things interesting for sure. Jason, Simon, Nathan and Joe and the rest of the Pine Rivers Club did an awesome job putting the whole tourney together. The course was fantastic. And, yeah, they just ran it in a really smooth and good way. It was heaps of fun to compete in.
Sounds excellent. I'm not sure if you heard on the last pod, but I tipped you and Chris thought you were no chance. He was all in on Richard, who started the tournament hot and was still leader after round two. When you were on chase card for round two, did you think you had another gear and was going to be able to chase him down?
We usually listen to your pods when we were travelling down to Brizzy, but we're a few behind and catching up, so we didn't actually get to listen to the latest pod before the tourney, so I was completely unaware of the tipping. But I have to say congrats to you for tipping me and sucked into Chris for not tipping me. After the first round, Richard did come out hot. And my round was very mediocre, putting me in sixth or seventh place, I think, six strokes behind. My putting on round one was absolute rubbish, so I knew I could get, if I could get my shit together, I could definitely do a fair bit better, but I wasn't sure if I could claw back the deficit because I was quite far behind. But in the end, I had a blitzer of a round on round two and even a better one on round three. So, yeah, made up the strokes, which was great.
So you will obviously catch up eventually, but those tips might have happened to be the other way around. Your final score was an absolute blinder and left no doubt, so well done. The MA50 division is fast becoming one of the largest divisions at any tournament. Why do you think the old boys get around it so much?
Thanks for that. I got on a bit of a roll in my last round and it just kept going and going. It wasn't until about hole 16 that I realised that I was quite a few strokes ahead and I started playing a bit more conservatively. The MA50 division is a lot of fun. All the guys are really good, all heaps of fun to play with. I got to play with quite a many of them during the weekend and everyone was great fun. I suppose disc golf's popular with us older guys because it's something that you can keep playing even though you may not be in the best physical shape of your life. Yeah, it's not too bad on the body. I didn't start playing until I was 55 and I realised I had to give up the more stupid things that I used to do, like riding dirt bikes and jumping out of planes.
Yeah, fair enough. One last thing before we let you go. When you finish your round, who's the first name you look to see and if you're ahead of them? Oh, no. I think we might have lost Ainsley. Not so good.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now, all good.
Probably your name.
Probably. Yeah, it must be my name. All right. Well, yeah, we probably won't get Eamesy back. But thanks for jumping on, Eamesy. That was cool. Big time Queensland Open champion.
Big, big.
I think that's it for Queensland Open then. We think we've already given them enough flowers over the last few pods about how good their tourney is. That's enough of that for this year.
Correct.
There was a bit of Pro Tour action, right, over in Europe. It was the PCS Sula Open or something like that. PCS Open?
Yes.
Did you get to catch much of that?
Bits and bobs. It's hard. The men, you get to see more of the FPO play live when it's in Europe. So, and don't really find time to catch up on Jomez or anything like that. What about yourself?
Nah, same. A little bit of the FPO and just keeping track of the scores for my tipping, really. So I didn't really get to see what was going down. I know that Evelina, her rounds are very consistent, but it didn't seem like that when looking at sort of live scores. It was up and down, up and down, up and down. A little bit wild, but she takes out a 3-stroke win. So she's playing some very good golf at the moment. I think that might be 2 wins in her last 3 tournaments or something like that.
Did Kristen choke this one though?
I don't know. Like I said, I don't remember. Oh, well, look at her final round. Yeah, no, of course she choked this one. I do remember this now. Yeah, because she was leading pretty comfortably after 2 rounds. And then shoots...
Six-stroke lead.
Yeah. And she loses by 3. So, yeah, that's a choke and half. She puts a little bit better than... a 1-stroke better than an Allen-rated round in round 3. That's not going to get you much done.
Nah. She's, it was minus 13 after round 2. And a minus 14 was enough to get the victory.
Big.
Big. Just before we get off the FPO, Evelina's putting, man. Was it round 1? Round 1. No, it must have been round 2. Yeah, round 2, she missed 8 C1 putts, Evelina. And they were all so gettable. God, they were all so gettable. If Evelina ever does somehow shake this monkey off her back, she will just win by 20 strokes every weekend.
Yeah, it'd be game over. Game over for the field. There should be young girl Julia Forsch in 8th place. So, great showing for her. This is a nice little European leg for hers. Speaking of chokes, though, my tip. Sophia Donicky, good first round, good second round, and full Jacob. Full MA3 in round 3. I mean, mate, 8.895 she's put up on the Pro Tour. To drop from like 4th to 12th. God damn, so ouch. Frustrating. I was so happy with it. And 8.95 rated round. So thanks for that. What was your tip looking like?
I had the opposite. So I had Rach Turton, who started off real slow after round 1 and was, where was she even? Gosh, can't even see her name on the leaderboard, but it was not high. I can't even actually see her round 1. 20th after round 1, but then put in work and in the end got to 7th.
Yeah, huge. Yep. Frustrating. It was a very frustrating one for me. I was looking great. Everyone else at tipping comp had no one, nothing happening. And, it was not to be. So, just disappointing there.
Yep.
In the MPO, it was old Hambone, Adam Hammes, with his second win this year. And, I mean, good competition. I know this is a Europe event, but Anzala, Barella, Heimberg, Burr, all these names are in there. Robinson, like both Robinsons. Was Ricky in this one? I don't think Ricky played.
Nah, Ezra Adehold.
Yeah.
Recent winner.
Yeah, P. McBee. This was loaded. So, second win this year. Not many with 2 wins this year, old Hambone. Just getting it done.
Always. Who'd you tip in the men's?
Sullivan Tipton. I liked your tip from last week, and I'd seen that he'd been playing well, and I was like, I cursed myself for not taking Cadence. Because she's been playing hot. And I said, oh, we'll go with Sully. And tie for third. Was right up there all three rounds. So happy days for me. Very, very excited about that. I definitely wasn't going to pick Kevin Jones, Laurie Layton, and Daniel Davidson, Milo Kamalainen, and I've already tipped Hammers, so it was as good as I could have gotten.
Well done. Well done.
You?
Mari Vilman.
Ooh, that's been hit and miss in this Euro Tour. Was this a hit?
Yeah.
Or a miss?
T48.
Oofed. Is that how Alan has snuck into top four in our tipping comp and you are no longer in there?
That is maybe how it happened, yes.
Big. I like this. We should always be in Europe.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, if what's-her-name had stayed in sixth or whatever she was, would have been such a good round for me. But, yeah, I think they may have a week off or something, right?
No,
they're still on.
To Croco. Okay. Croco, number one course in the world. And I don't know if I've already actually chucked my tips in because obviously I've got them all pre-prepared. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I want to maybe mix it up. This Daniel Davidson.
He looks good, man. I think you should go in.
He looks good.
Yeah. I think you should definitely tip it. Or Mio Hamalainen.
Yeah, maybe. I think maybe I won't.
He's poised to take Croco. How could he not?
Yeah, but it's about to get spicy. We're then straight into some majors, and it'll come down to who has, you know, who has stayed the course, who has kept all the big dogs up their sleeve, and I'm ready to fire on all cylinders down the stretch.
I like it. Well, you've been saving Port Macbeth for Worlds, and I'm starting to be grateful you've done that. What do we got? Dollars guarantee. That's the only thing left on my radar. I'll have to look at Bicentennial. I think it's a bit going on. I think it's going to be a big week.
Big 60 plays.
Oofed. Loaded field. So loads to choose from. Do you have anything you've spied yet, or are you just having a squeeze?
No. I've got something that I would like you to score up for me.
Can do.
I would like a Aiden Howard versus Penlu.
Aiden Howard versus Penlu. Aiden just back in the country. And Pan oofed. I'll go. I don't know if Aiden does board Bicentennial that well, and it's got a lot of Melton vibes. So I think Aiden should have the advantage, but I'll go a 50-50. I'll go 5-5.
Thank you. I'll circle back to that. Anything you iron off?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. What about Raseem versus Narada?
That was my next one.
Really?
Yeah. That was definitely going to be my next one. Look, Raseem, I love to see him back, but he's just never out and about. But I do happen to know that this is his backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And he does obviously take the rating advantage as well over Narada. So I'd have to give a generous 4 to Raseem here.
Really?
To Narada. Yeah, 6 to Narada.
Interesting. Is that what you were hoping for? If I was going to, like, what side of that were you going to go on if I scored that way?
I'd back Raseem in. I think it's a generous 4, yeah.
Boom. Do you want to do that? You go Raseem, I'll take Narada. Or you get other things on your mind?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that'd be great. Let's go. Toe to toe.
Raseem wins, you get 4, Narada wins, I get 6.
And there's sick. And they tie with a laughing stock.
Yeah.
Yep, let's do it.
All right, I'll take that. I'm happy with that. I think there was a good 50-50, so I'll take the edge. But I do get it. Narada's been trashed lately, too. And the last time I picked him at fucking Bicentennial, it was real bad for me, so.
I'm pretty sure Raseem plays Bicentennial 3 days a week.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, I might be in trouble here.
Yeah.
This could be sad. Come on, Narada. Let's go, mate. I'll be interested to see how that gets tipped on the Throwers Guarantee, the tipping comp.
Yes.
But most people won't even know who Raseem is. So they'll probably just pick Narada because they don't know that's their former president.
Former club president, exactly.
All right, should we do some spotlight, not light to finish?
Yes, let's do it.
I've got I've got some. One of them's not really disc golf related, but last year I remember I went with a Not Light because Joey Chestnut was banned from, yes, or not invited to the Nathan's hot dog eating competition. But this time they let him back in and he won by a billion.
Yes.
And some Aussie dude came third. I think he had like 45 hot dogs and Joey Chestnut had like 73 or something. So the king, the undisputed king, is back and he takes his crown once again, Joey Chestnut. Spotlights!
Love to see it. Love to see it. I'm in good form at the moment. I would have packed on at least 15 kilo in the last couple of weeks. I'd like to go toe-to-toe with Joey Chestnut for a couple of hot dogs one day. I feel like I could do this, you know?
Excellent.
I've got some honorable mentions for my spotlights. I have to – honorable mention slash nomination for TD of the year has to go to Jason Vito. We're only hearing very good things out of that event. I know we've pumped him up for a few weeks, but just throwing it out there. My another honorable mention is Damian Musi for the shirt support.
Mushy.
Yep, that's what I said. He's put in an order for about 500 shirts, and I love to see it. But my actual spotlight just has to go to just everyone. Like, there's going to be over 60 of these shirts in the wild when crazy. This next order comes in. It's just crazy. So just shirt support in general is my spotlight. And seeing all the photos, seeing all the people update their PDJ profiles, but then seeing the photo shoot photos get released and seeing all of them in the wild on both days. Just love it. Love it, love it, love it. So thanks to our listeners and everyone getting around these best jerseys in the country. Spotlights!
I think that might actually have to be a segment for next week. So obviously we have the number one jersey in the country, but what's 2, 3, 4, and 5? Might have to have a little look into that. If you think you've got a line in on a good jersey, send it in. I know that the Hyzerflight ones, the Tembo-Ans are nice. All the Hyzerflight ones are pretty good actually. So the Blake Houston ones are pretty good. Nath was wearing one I think at Queensland Open. It looked really good. So might have to look into that. See what else is going around. I just saw. There was a photo kicking around from the Queensland Open of a good crew up there that might be on the opposite end of that spectrum, I think. But we won't go too hard into that.
Yep.
all right, Not Lights. Your spotlight to Dan?
Yeah. Yes, correct.
So, Not Lights. This goes to... let's set the scene here. Everyone knows that in Ballarat, if you're playing a tournament or a league day or anything to do with the Ballarat club, the A spot just rolls on. So we've got the big wet coming up in, well, not this weekend, but the next one. And I'm looking to take down that A spot, but I can't anymore because Duncan McIntosh cleared it out at a fucking social day or something stupid like that. And, how do you clear out an A spot 2 weeks before a tournament? So that's my Not Light, Duncan McIntosh, taking away the A spot from us. When I hit an ace, it's going to get like $10.
Well spotted by you. Well spotted by you.
I don't like that. It's not a spotlight. It's a Not Light.
No. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Look, I don't know if you've just seen your messages pop off, but uncanny coincidence, which I do love, just got a message from Chris Hart, selfie with Rhino.
Hey!
In, none other, repping the Throwler shirts in Bali.
That's amazing.
No, not in Bali, in Thailand. Thailand. Read the chat, Chris, in Thailand. So that's huge. Great coincidence. So good. Anyway, I got no real Not Lights other than just Mallory Vilman, like, for shit in the bed.
Nice. Yeah. One thing I forgot to touch on is I'm here in Sydney for the cold snap this weekend, and I saw that Parked was filming, and I had a quick look at the MPO field, and it's looking a lot like I could maybe get into it round two. So I asked you to put out a bit of a socials post to see, do you think Alan should move to MPO to try to get on some Parked coverage? What were the results?
Oh yeah, I love it. I love it. Let me bring it up. Look. What do you think the results were? Let's start there.
I would assume that basically everyone was like, no, like go play MA2.
Look, you're not far from the truth. You are not far from the truth. No, look, you had a couple of people voting. With some support. I'm just bringing it up here. Where am I? Here it is. Activity. So you had Govan, Wayne get behind you. You had Park Media get behind you.
Oh, I like that.
You had Ash Wiedner himself get behind you.
Okay.
And then you had both Taz and Parrish go, is this a typo? Did you mean to say, should Alan play MA2?
Of course. <yeah. laughs> No, mate, I had a little bit of a look at that field, and it's not particularly strong. Like, two big dogs in it. So, obviously, Chili and Dan Frost will be on there. Cade Ashton, also better than me, so probably three. But then, Mario Tolberg, Charlie Buffin, Broden Sherratt, one of them is going to make lead card, or maybe I will. So I don't know, that parks filming. Like, when am I going to get a chance to do that again? So, but I'm looking at MA1, and the MA1 field's super light on. Like, I'm the clear ratings favorite in that. Which when's the next time I'm going to have a chance to win an MA1 tournament? So
that's true.
But
that's
if I can get on parks, I think that outweighs by winning an MA1 tournament. So either way, watch me shoot a 860 rated round and round one and stuff it up. But I'm gonna have a real good look at that. If I can find a way to weasel my way onto a parked media coverage, I'll do it. So you might see Alan in the MPO field, just trying to get that fourth spot for round two. So keep an eye on that this weekend.
Look forward to it.
All right, that's it. That's all I got. Anything from you?
Beautiful. Nah, that's it.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.